I'm going to call the Agriculture, Environment, Natural Resources and Finance Committee to order. Good morning, members. We have this morning we are going to be reviewing the capital projects that would be recommended by this committee and will be forwarded on to the Capital Investment Committee. The plan is for us to go over a list of recommendations that I've put together for you to consider, and then we will make decisions on that list tomorrow after you've had a chance to take a closer look at it and to decide with regard to additions or subtractions that you'd like to make. And if there's any language or anything that you want to have included, you need to have that made up as an amendment, so we have that. But this is right now just kind of an overview of the recommendations, and I think we'll just everyone has the handout that will shows what the different projects are that have been proposed. As you know, we've had many different hearings with regard to these individual proposals, both the joint committees meetings with the Senate and as well as our House members, and so we will go over that list in a little detail today. And I'm wondering, Mr. Reinholz, why don't you describe what we have before us today?
Mr. Chairman, members, what I've put together here is that you should be referring to a spreadsheet, the pretty standard-looking spreadsheet that we usually use in this committee. What it contains, if you look at the columns, I think you were handed out one earlier in the process. What it has on here is column C, obviously, is listing the agency and the projects. Column D shows which fund that recommendation would be from. GO means general obligation bond. That's the normal bonding, type of bonding that the state does. The only other items that would be there, there's some general fund items that would say GEN. Column H shows what the agency recommendations were that were submitted to the governor last fall. The next column is the governor's rec as were submitted to the legislature in January. Then on T, U, and I are member requests. What this is bills that were heard in this committee. For the most part, there are a few that are there that were not heard that may have been heard last year. So these were bills that were sort of on the table to be considered. And then the new column that we'll be talking about today is column Y, and it's called Chairman's Recommendations, although the recommendation is kind of cut off. And what this contains is a listing of those projects that either were the governor's rec or the member's requests that were considered by the committee and are now being recommended by the chairman for forwarding to the Capital Investment Committee. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you want me to go through them in detail, one by one, or your recommendations here.
I think I'd like you to do that at one point, but I'd first like to give a little explanation as to how I came up with the list. That basically, members, I thought what I'd do is put together just a skeleton list that kind of gives us some beginnings. This is a list that, for the most part, I've taken the governor's recommendations and transferred those over into the chairman's recommendation column. Then I've gone through on a few projects that I thought really were critical that we would like to have you consider. And then we also have some lists that have been put together with regard to organizations or others that have helped us to prioritize, and we've had testimony on some of those prioritizations. And so I've selected some of those groupings and have included them on this list. So that's basically, I haven't gone through a lot of the individual projects and put them in. I thought that what we'd like to do is for you to consider those individual projects, and that tomorrow we'll talk about those that you'd like to have included on the list. So, Mr. Reinholz, if you'd just maybe go through the list and explain individual items.
Mr. Chairman, members, then I will speaking to column Y, and I'll start moving down the individual items. And the first item, the first agency is the Department of Natural Resources. The first item being recommended is on line 7, it's flood hazard mitigation grants at $9 million. That is the same as the governor's recommendation was, if you look back to column I. So it would cover those projects that the Department of Natural Resources spoke of when they came forth to the committee. And two of those that are in the list that are included in those DNR priorities, I've marked there. The first one is Oakport, and that was a House File 2919. The DNR has that in their priorities for $2 million. The other one that's also in there would be Austin, and that's in the DNR priorities at $1.5 million. And so that $9 million covers those two bills also to some extent, not the amount that they had. There also is a note there that says language to move up on regarding the St. Vincent Dyke project that was brought forth in House File 3037. And we've had some conversations with the Department of Natural Resources, and they've recommended some language to us that will rearrange some priorities, and this particular project and other projects similar to it would move up in their priority list.
If on that with that regard, that's usually referring to very small cities that have to come up with a match for these funds, and this is trying to reduce or have language that would be able to allow them to participate without dealing with that match. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, and this committee has used similar language in previous years of bonding.
Mr. Chair, just a question. If we want to find the $9,000 and the breakdown, is our budget books, does it have it, or do we get it somewhere else from the department, or where can we see the list of the projects that are on their recommended list in each of these categories?
Reynolds?
Mr. Chairman, in some instances they are in the budget book and the department submitted it. In some instances they are not. I do have a listing of the priorities for this one, and you could either get it from me or the department. It is not in the budget book.
Okay.
We could also send that out electronically.
Mr. Chair, I think before tomorrow would be helpful to get electronically on the categories. All right, thank you.
We'll do that. I was assuming that it was in the budget book. So it's okay.
Mr. Chairman, some of them were in the book. If you recall, we did have to ask the department to submit some detail, and they did finally submit that detail to us after their presentation. I know we will send. I will be able to send that out to the members. The next category is called the dams, and we did have several dams that were in bills, and the department came forth with the governor's rec of $2 million. And that is the chairman's recommendation, the same as the governor's. And also the chairman is recommending a general fund appropriation for the Rapidan Dam. That was in the Representative Cornish's bill, 2716. The $60,000 is going to match some federal money and local money to do continuing studies on that dam. That's why it had to be general fund. It's not eligible for bonding. Moving down into the category called state parks, the recommendations by the chairman are very similar to the governor's, $3 million for infrastructure rehab, $3 million for state park building rehab. On the acquisition line, that would be line 25, the chairman's recommendations are $1 million more than the governor's, and it also is going to have language that will restrict the purchasing to in-holdings. And also we're considering language requiring the department to come forth with a plan that will speak to what their strategy will be to purchase in-holdings in existing state parks.
Mr. Chair, quick question about in-holdings. Is that, and I know the DNR has a plan, is that in-holdings from willing sellers or, okay, thank you.
Yes, that would be from willing sellers. And we'd like to get them to give us a long-term plan so we can really start to get that moved up. It has, the acquisition dollars have not increased since the 1980s. It's always been $2 million every bonding cycle. And we're losing ground. The cost of the lands, the end holdings are going up. We're getting less money by just staying at the same amount. We're actually getting less money for this overall effort. So we'd really like to try and get to where we're starting to complete some of our state parks. We have them designated. We know where the boundaries are supposed to be, but they have properties within them that they have not focused on. And we'd really like to get them to do that. And felt if we were to show that we're willing to put some more dollars in there to try and match a plan that they would put forward, that would be an incentive for them.
Mr. Chairman, members, the next item would be the on line 26. The governor recommended $2 million for a state park camper cabins to be built in the system. The chairman's recommendation is the same, $2 million. Then there were five bills related to state parks that were brought forth to the committee. Two of those are recommended here in the governor's recommendation. That would be the Glacial Lakes Sibley State Park at $300,000, excuse me, that was in 2753. And also on line 30, the Munson Lake State Park, that was recommendations that were in House File 2844, Representative Peterson's bill. Moving into the state trails, this is the one on line 34. It's listed, the governor recommended $2 million. The chairman's recommendation is $12,211,000. And it says see list because it's a listing that's the last page of the handout that you have. If you turn to that, you'd see that there's a list of trails here, I think all of which were included in various bills that were brought before the committee, some of which were in the recommendations also of the governor. And I've laid them out here rather than on the spreadsheet just for simplicity and to be able to see them clearer. And you can see there that the state trails add up to $12,211,000, and there's a listing of how much goes to each one. When language is brought forth, it will indicate those dollars going to these trails at these levels and for what the purpose is. In some cases, it's rehabilitation, and others, it's acquisition. Those numbers match up with some of the numbers that were brought forth in testimony before the committee, primarily by the Parks and Trails organization. The one trail that's listed here that on line 39 that was brought forth in a bill that's included in that list for state parks is House File 3038 for the Big Stone Trail, which is part of the Minnesota Valley Trail. Moving down into DNR Other on line 41, most of these recommendations are at the governor's level. The fisheries improvement is $4 million. The state land reforestation is at $4 million. State forest land acquisition at $4 million, same as the governor. SNA acquisitions is listed as recommended at $3 million, same as the governor. Water access development and fishing piers is $3 million, same as the governor. Moving to page 2. Line 47, Lake Superior Safe Harbors, was a bill brought forth by Representative Dill. House File 3096 is recommended at $3 million. Line 48 is at $2 million, the same amount as the governor had. Line 49 is local community grants. These are the grants the DNR makes to local units of government for SNA or park and trail development. This was brought forth in a bill, and it did not have a number when it came before the committee. It was recommended at $5 million in that bill, and the chairman is at that level. Native Prairie Bank easements is at $1 million, same as the governor. Water.
Mr. Reynolds, says on the line 49, the local community grants, at some point, members, I'll come back and talk a little bit more about that, how that fits into the overall picture. I think it may be best if instead of my explaining it now, we wait till you go through the entire list, then I'll be able to come back and explain how some of that goes together. Mr. Reynolds.
Mr. Chairman, the on line 50, the Native Prairie easements, Native Prairie Bank easements is listed at million, same as the governor. 51, the waterfall habitat structures project is $1 million, same as the governor. Fish hatchery improvement is $1 million, same as the governor. 53, Metro Greenways, the governor had no recommendation. The chairman's recommendation is at the level the agency requested, that $1 million. We did have a bill, 3272, that was brought before to the committee on that item. On line 55, buying out trust fund lands, this was recommended by the governor at $1 million, and the chairman's recommendation is the same. The next item with recommendations would be line 58, the off-road vehicle recreation area is at the same $1.5 million, same as the governor's. The Rim Wildlife Area acquisition came before the committee in House Bill 2800. It was recommended by the governor at $15 million, and the chairman is at that level. Line 60 is the large-scale forest conservation easements. That was brought forth in House File 3060 and was also a governor's recommendation and is in the chairman's at $10 million. Line 61 is a sensitive riparian land acquisition. This item was not brought forth in a bill or was not in the governor's recommendations. It's an item that's been considered late in the process, and what it's related to the Clean Water Legacy bill, and what this is some bonding, a program that the Department of Natural Resources would begin that would be acquiring the land or easements on land, the riparian lands where the priority would go to where they could improve the quality of the water. That's different than, we do now have some programs that buy that type of land, but it's mostly for fish habitat improvements. This would have a different priority. It would be really related to the water improvements in water quality.
Members, where this comes from is that as we went through the Clean Water Legacy Act and we were dealing with the departments and other stakeholders, we've looked to see what could be put into the bonding bill that would actually help us accomplish some of the objectives of the issues that we had talked about when the Clean Water Legacy Act was before us. And this is one of those areas that the department identified.
Members, and the next grouping is local grants for parks and trails. The chairman's recommendation is at $2,410,000. And once again, the details on that are on the trails list. It's the second grouping on the back page of your handout. Local trails, and it's listing the Mesabi, the Cedar Avenue Bridge, Cedar Lake Trail, the Vento, and the Sioux Line. At the amounts indicated there add up to the $2.410 million. The committee had a significant number of bills that were considered before the committee, and as you can see, three of those are indicated as being included in that recommendation of the chairman. The next grouping would be the local grants miscellaneous. Line 83, the Springbrook Nature Center, came forth in House File 2260, is recommended at $1 million. Line 86, the Prairie Wetlands Environmental Learning Center request came forth in House File 278, at $2.5 million is in the chairman's rec.
And members, on that Prairie Land Wetlands Environmental Learning Center, as you know, they've been, environmental learning centers have been controversial in the past for trying to maintain them over it. You know, it's one thing to get them established, another thing to be able to maintain them. This particular one has not only been able to be maintained, but it has an arrangement with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to where they are actually an obligation for the maintenance, operation and maintenance of the facility. And so if we're able to actually expand this facility, there will be more students that would be able to utilize this, and it'll be long-term because the operation and maintenance is covered. So it's our obligation really as a state to really assist in that overall effort is to provide the facility structure, and then the day-to-day operation and maintenance is taken care of by others. So I thought that was a good cooperative effort that I wanted to see maintained, and that's the reason why pick that particular one to be on this list.
Mr. Chairman and members, moving to page three, the first item would be a summary of the Department of Natural Resources recommendations. As you can see, the total would be on line 93 of at $103,031,000. The next agency would be the Pollution Control Agency on line 99. On line 100, the chairman's recommendations are same as the governor's for the closed landfill bonding, $7,150,000. Same thing on the capital assistance program. The chairman is at $4 million, same as the governor. And it would utilize the PCA priority list. Priority list, what did they do with that, includes the Perham, which was on line 102, is the number one item on the list. And the second item is, I believe, the Rochester request that was submitted to the PCA. The line 104 has a chairman recommendation related to House File 2789 that was brought forth by Representative Anderson. The bill was requesting $10 million for the whole project. The chairman recommendation is for a feasibility study and $1 million. The need for the study came about from some discussion with the agency that thought that there was maybe more information needed on the cost benefits of the plant and also on some of the technology, and this money is intended to cover that continuation of the study.
Members, if you may recall, this is the plasma torch technology that they use for dealing with solid waste issues up in an area where we have landfills that are going to soon be full. We're going to be needing to look at establishing some new or expanded landfills. And as the department has been looking at this technology, there has been some questions that have come up in other states with regard to its affordability and how it would actually be applied. We think that this is a good application up there, but felt it would be prudent for us to have a feasibility study just to make sure that we have our act together, look at the technology, look how it matches up to the application that they're proposing to put forward up there, and that it would be affordable. Matter of fact, it would be, I'm hopeful that it will not only be affordable, we'll find out it will be the best way to deal with that waste. I think it has a lot of potential, but I do think we should provide for looking at this in a more detailed fashion before we leap right into full-blown support of the program. Representative Dill.
Thank you, Chairman. So then I take from that, then if all this passes out and is all feasible, then this is something that might be promoted or moved forward in a supplemental bonding bill between the normal bonding years?
That would be my hope that we would be, if the feasibility study, when it comes back, if it shows that this is as viable as many of us are hoping, that this, there would be logical reason there to accelerate this, because we are running out of landfill space up there. It's kind of reaching a critical need, and it would be something that I certainly would be supportive of putting up on the agenda for next year. But we have to wait and see what the feasibility study says.
Add in that, you know, this is, you're exactly right. You've explained it very well, because the landfill space is drying up very quickly, and they're hauling most of the garbage from Cooch County over to Maxine Pennis's, Representative Pennis's district, and down in Duluth, they're hauling it down to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin is objecting and raising their rates, and all of that is going to play into the affordability of this. And I'm as hopeful as you are. It's not in my district, but it's close by, and it's really a good. If it turns out to be what as purported, it'll be good. I appreciate your support of the project.
Mr. Chair, to that point, I do think it's a good idea, and I hope it works. And this was the project that was going to be in International Falls, right? If this is, and I think it is a good thing, wouldn't it make more sense to bring it, I don't have a city, but somewhere farther south, somewhere more centrally located, where more Minnesota communities could access it rather than have it be on the Canadian border?
Representative Bill?
The reason that's been brought forward in this area, Mr. Chairman, is because of the lack of landfill space, the type of soil characteristics that we have up in northern Minnesota, or I should say lack of soil characteristics that we have, and the thought that we are exporting garbage not only out of the area but into other states, and the fact that the plant has strong interest, however they don't have a purchase agreement for the power that it makes and also the steam that it makes to go into the industrial paper maker in Boise Cascade.
Okay.
And so there's kind of a, to make this feasible up in that area, there's all these components. And I fully expect that if this is successful, that it will be immediately kind of like ethanol plants, you know.
Oh, God.
And I will expect you to carry a subsidy for it as well, just like the ethanol plants.
He's joking.
Yes, I was joking.
I'm hopeful that this technology, if it proves out, would be applicable all across the state of Minnesota. There's many areas that are relying upon landfills, and that space is running out, so we need to have an alternative. This potentially has the ability to create its own fuel, because if you can take the waste and then take the steam, turn the steam into electricity, that's electricity that fuels the plasma torch, so it really could be a closed loop system.
Mr. Chair, I'm fully aware of that, and I think it's a good idea. I hope it does work. I was just wondering about location, thinking if it was more centrally located, it would benefit a greater part of Minnesota.
Mr. Chair. And it is going to be owned by the county, I believe,
yep.
But it will cover all of northeast Minnesota. Gil says it's not in his district, but they'll be burning all his garbage, but you know how much.
Yeah. I got a lot of garbage.
Okay. Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, members, the Water and Soil Resources Board is the next agency, and the chairman's recommendations on the first four items, the RIM Reserve and CREP program and the local government road wetland replacement program are listed there, and those are the same as both the agency request and the governor's request. So those items, there's a general fund portion of both of those. That's why they're listed twice. There's two different funding sources. If you look over on column D, for example, the RIM Reserve and CREP has $4,750,000 worth of general fund appropriations, and that would be used for the administration of the actual program. The RIM Reserve and CREP program shows up on 112 is the program dollars at $25,400,000. The same thing goes on in the local government road replacement. There's a general fund and a bonding portion. The next item would be line 116. Chairman recommends $2.5 million for the Streambank Lakeshore and Road Retention Program, and you see that's marked as CWL again, the Clean Water Legacy, and this amount came out of the G16 recommendations related to Clean Water Legacy, and the priority would be projects, once again, similar to the DNR, where the main benefit is to cleaning up the water. Line 117, study area 2 appropriation. That came to the committee in a bill I don't have listed there. Representative Magnus came forth with that in $500,000, and the chairman is recommending that amount. On line 119, Grass Lake Restoration Project, House File 2724, is recommended at the agency request level of $2.2 million. The next agency is the Department of Agriculture. The first item is on line 127, Municipal Reforestation. That came to the committee in Representative Earhart's bill, House File 1564. The chairman is recommending that at a reduced level from the bill, but a significant amount at $5 million. Line 128, the chairman is recommending the same as the governor and the agency, $1.5 million for the Joint Biosafety Laboratory Facility. Line or page 4, then the first agency would be the Minnesota Zoo. Chairman's recommendation matched those of the governor on both the asset preservation and the zoo master plan, the rebuilding of exhibits at the zoo that was funded in the last year's bonding bill. This is the next phase of that rebuilding. The next agency would be the Met Council. Line 145, the chairman is recommending it at the governor's level for regional parks, $11,700,000. Out of that $11 million, one project would be earmarked, and that is Port Crosby at $1.5 million. That was also earmarked by the governor at that level. Also in the Met Council, on line 146, House Bill 2611 is recommended to be included. That's the Minnesota River West Regional Park at $3 million. Line 147 is the Empire Wetlands Wildlife Area and Park Development. The Representative McNamara's Bill 2557 is recommended for funding at the $7 million level. And the Lake Avenue Regional Trail in White Bear Lake, House File 3092 is recommended at that level of $191,000. Next would be the totals for the bill. And on line 153, you see that the chairman's recommendation, the total is $204,122,000. Just for comparison, the governor's recommendation was $155,200. Agency Rex was $307,510. So the chairman is over, recommendations are over the governor's, but significantly below what the agencies and the members requested. Members requested on 258,879. The other items just show the breakout of that total between the GO bonds and general fund in the recommendations. And Mr. Chairman, that would be a walkthrough of your recommendations.
Okay. Members, if you go back on page 3, on, we were talking about Department of Agriculture. On line 127, the Municipal Reforestation, the reason I'm suggesting that we invest there is because we know we have some real problems with invasive species and others that are kind of attacking our municipal forests, and I think the trees within our communities, I think that this is, deserves support. And the on line 128, the Joint Biosafety Laboratory Facility, we have seen last night we had a chance to it was already on my list, but last night I had a chance to tour Department of Agriculture and Department of Health of new facilities and saw the importance of this particular facility with regard to our need to be able to deal with any type of even terroristic type of activities or other things that can be used, chemicals, biological agents that can be used against us. And so this would really bring this facility up to where it can deal with those in a very state-of-the-art type of activity. And that would be for the entire region. And so it's something, there's cooperation with the University of Minnesota. I saw a lot of lines connecting there. It just seemed to me to be a very good overall effort, not only for our safety, but also for keeping us on the cutting edge of how to deal with these threatening issues. Representative Johnson?
Just to those 2 points, Mr. Chair, as long as you brought them up. On the reforestation, I did meet with the folks. You remember there were some questions as to whether general obligation bonds could pay for staff and field people and department people salaries. And the way they're going to handle that is when they do the grant process, they indicated that the grants would only be for tree removal and replanting, not for any inspection, not for any personnel at all. So they'll handle it through the grant process to make sure that it corresponds to the legalities of general obligation bonds. So that was covered, and I'm satisfied at least with that at this point. And then the joint lab facility, I think tomorrow we should probably talk a little bit more about that, Mr. Chair. I don't know if that's enough or not. You know, again, to go, I know Representative Magnus and I and others had talked when they testified, if you remember, and they indicated that, well, it's a start, but they really need many more hoods to actually cover if an outbreak of avian bird flu would happen in the state, in likelihood this lab wouldn't cover it, and we'd still be shipping samples out of state. And I don't know, you know, as far as priorities on this list, I think that's one we really need to look at and say, were we ready? You know, are we ready? And hopefully we never have to use it. But if we're not and it comes and we can't handle our lab samples, I think that would be something that would come back to haunt us. So I think we need to take a close look at that tomorrow. And I do have some, we had some information. I had research do some work. I didn't bring it today, but I think I have it in my office, and I'll bring that with tomorrow.
Okay. Representative Dale.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On 55, line 55, buying out the trust lands. Agency wanted $5 million. We did $1 million. I'm thinking about, if those are school trust lands, I'm thinking about the Constitution and how that talks about how trust lands can be handled. And the word buying out is troublesome to me, at least on the surface. Because I don't recall from the Constitution that the trust lands can just be bought out, have an appraisal done and then bought out. They have to be traded for lands of equal value, either through condemnation or one third thing. I'm wondering if there's someone from the agency could speak to that. Maybe it's just the way it was written here on the line. I that's my question. I think, do you understand it?
And we will. If someone from the agency or be thinking about that, and I would so I finish up this right before we turn it over for full discussion, I would draw your attention to the last page of the underneath Metropolitan Council, and where we had the Metropolitan Regional Parks, and we had as you see there's 11.7, and there is a list that they have worked off of that they've explained to us when they've testified. And then, members, if you go back on page 2, underneath looking at the top of that list, we have the local community grants at line 49. I put dollars into, or recommend that we put some money into that local community grants, because the Metropolitan Parks area seems to have substantial support from the legislature, mm-hmm. as we're showing here, at least we're proposing that they should. And if you look down on line 77 on page 2, there is a non-metro regional parks request. Representative Knobloch's bill for $7 million. And we really don't have an identification of non-metro regional parks yet in place. I know it's something we've talked about and worked on a little bit, but it just hasn't come about. But we do have local community grants program that does have definitions to it. It does have an ability to prioritize requests as they come in.
Initiative.
And so that's where I thought we should put some money into that local community grants. The governor didn't have any, and I thought that if we put it up there, that would help to balance out the local regional local needs with regard to parks. And so that's the logic I used. I just wanted to communicate that with you.
Could someone get us, I think as part of that, and we talked about with Knobloch's bill too, the LCMR definition of regional parks, because I think they worked something up and I still haven't seen it. If someone in this room or staff or someone could provide that before tomorrow, I think that would be helpful as this discussion, because I think you're right, part of that broad bill would include similar to the Knobloch.
Mm-hmm. And LCMR staff is here, and they indicated they will get that to us.
Chairman?
Yes. Let's, Representative Dill, let's see if we can get your answer to your question next. Is there someone from the department that can answer the question that Representative Dill had? Is there anyone here? Okay, we will have to follow up, Representative Dill, with that at a later time. Representative Dill.
Okay, on line 101, back of the plasma gun technology for the garbage. I'm not sure that I understand. Can we do a feasibility study with bonding money?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, I looked at that as I was going through, and I think that it would have to be reworded a little bit differently. Bonding can be used for some of the early parts of the planning of the construction, and I think it would have to be reworded to be more something more than feasibility. You're right.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I just didn't want that to trip us up down the road here somewhere.
Okay. Good point.
Mr. Chairman, on line 49, this local community grants, could you explain to us a little bit how that works? Is that for city parks, and is that administered by the DNR? Is it matching funds, or how? So I got a little better understanding of how.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Magnus, yes, it is administered by the DNR. It was a program created in statute. DNR is a competitive application program. The DNR does have guidelines that they've created along with some of the groups that would be representing those that apply to choose and rank those programs. There is a matching requirement on it also. Okay. And the match amount varies depending on the different categories to some extent. It's 50-50 on the parks, so I believe.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Representative Magnus, we can deal with that specifically if you'd like. You may want to look into that as to what the current language is and what language, parameters you'd like to have on the program as it would be utilizing these dollars. And we can put them some other location, too, if you find a better use for it, as I think Representative Junkie's talking about maybe
have that language.
Working on the language that we have for regional parks. So we have... If members can work together, maybe we can get something accomplished on this tomorrow. Okay. Representative Riddle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Magnus, as I understand, these are some parks that are, not in the metro area, but they're kind of betwixt and between. For example, Wright County has some concerns there. There's an Eddy Park that is in need of funding, but is not in the metro park category.
And I also believe there's members there may have occurred where some activities or some bills or proposals were considered or presented to our committee and they didn't show up on this list. I know Representative Riddle had a bill with regard to state parks that I don't see on the list listed, and we're going to see as to where that, how we actually want to make sure that that's visible as to how we're dealing with that. So if there are other things that you see missing off this list, let us know also.
Mr. Chair, I don't know the House file number, and I don't know the name of the project off the top of my head, but I know Representative Meslow was here, one of the last people that presented.
Which one?
There.
We have him.
Mr. Chair, never mind. I was testing my fellow committee members to make sure they were paying attention.
Yes, page 4, line 148.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Any other issues? Members, as I mentioned when we started out today, that what we're going to do is, this is a starting point. I made some recommendations, gives you a little idea as to how much money we'd be talking about. We do not have a target, per se, it would be best if we can try to really justify and your recommendations that you want to include on this list to be something that we really feel strongly that these are worthy projects that are there based on merit. That way we can defend this very easily before the Capital Investments Committee. That's the assumptions that I made as I was putting together recommendations. Try to identify also if I have some specific projects that I had recommended as to why and the logic and reason I used behind that so that, if we're not trying to just pull something in here and put it in for appropriate reasons or other reasons. These are really here based upon merit and quality. Representative Dill.
Thank you, Chair Osmond. I'm wondering what how our schedule will lay out then on this in the future. In the interim of that question, I'm wondering if on line 56, page 2, line 56, forest, roads, and bridges, the agency had asked for $2 million, and we don't have anything in there. And I'm just wondering what the agency won't be doing. We've had many times that they've testified on the different aspects of, forest roads, et cetera. But without the $2 million, what will they be doing? And I'm just thinking that those bridges and roads are so critical to delivering raw products so that we can keep the copy machines running here at the Capitol. That it could be that just something that maybe we should hear from DNR what won't happen if that so pleases the chairman.
Well, Representative Peel, I think we're beyond the ability for the committee to do that, but if you'd like to talk to DNR and find out what won't happen and bring that back as to information that you'd like to present to the committee, if there's something that's falling between the cracks here that you'd like us to deal with, that's what tomorrow is for. It's for us to kind of look at those areas and make sure that we're
I'll do that.
Bringing those items up. Other questions? Tomorrow's we will have be starting off with this proposal and be listening to your requests that you'd like to have included, and or if there are items that I've recommended that you feel are either shouldn't be there or should be reduced, that would be the appropriate time for you to bring that up also. And we'll work off this document and make the adjustments and hopefully come to an agreement tomorrow and pass it on to the Capital Investment Committee. There is also maybe some recommendations that we would will make along with this beyond just the spreadsheet. We could have, for example, I know we listened to some issues earlier this year that we thought had real merit but wasn't really underneath the purview of this particular committee, but we may want to include that in a letter and forward that on to the Capital Investment Committee in the form of recommendation from this committee, even though it's not something under our purview. And I intend to have a couple of those suggestions to present to you tomorrow. And if you have suggestions you'd like to have handled that way, please bring those up also for us to have as committee position that we would present them to Capital Investment. Any other questions? Representative Cornish, you have something for us.
Members, I just wanted to draw your attention to these two striking-looking individuals in the back. If Conservation Officer Dean Olson is the present president of the Minnesota Conservation Officers Association, and Mike Grulke, to his right, is the past president of the Conservation Officers Association. So if you would remember their faces, they'll probably be talking to you in the near future.
Hopefully not out in the woods.
Yeah. Not in the woods.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you want to recognize
them. Or in the safe harbor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when you were down talking to me in the Capitol on there. Okay, thank you very much. Welcome to the committee. Dave. Appreciate it. Are there other questions on the process or on this particular document? Okay. We will lay that aside then for now and go on to the next item on our agenda. Members, I have yesterday on the floor of the House asked for House File 3269 to be sent over to the to our committee for us to take a look at. This is a bill that's dealing with the dedication, constitutional amendment dedication of sales a portion of sales tax to a variety of activities in the state of Minnesota, especially those impacting natural resources. And I would like to bring this up for discussion here. I have see where that discussion leads us. We have a couple of suggestions that we may want to make to this bill. This bill needs to go to taxes. Taxes is going to be looking at this issue overall on Thursday with Representative Hackbarth's bill. Isn't that the Representative Hackbarth? That's when your bill is coming up for consideration there. And if there is any advice that this committee would like to pass on to taxes regarding this particular type of approach as it may compare with what Representative Hackbarth has, this would be an appropriate mechanism to do that. And so I'd like to bring up House File 3269 for our consideration. And members, I'll just quickly walk through through the bill. It is a this is a bill that is presented to try and preserve the outdoor heritage and well as quality of life traditions in the state of Minnesota. And there is a companion bill over in the Senate that has passed out of the Senate committees. They actually increased the funds a little bit over there. But the this is one that proposes that we would go from 6.5 cents on our sales tax to 6.75, but that we would dedicate that 0.25 cent to some specific activities. Basically, the breakdown on this would be 34% is going, as the bill stands before, 34% goes for fish and wildlife resources, which is about $65 million per year. 22% goes for Representative Wiggins.
When you give that you give that number, you went so fast. Could you emphasize those numbers so we can sketch that in as we...
Okay, the underneath our current day figures, if 0.25 percent, I understand, would raise $191 million, what I'm told. And that 34% of that, or $65 million, would go towards fish and wildlife resources. And 22%, which is $42 million, would go towards parks and trails. 22%, which isn't $42 million, would go towards clean water initiatives. And 22% of $42 million would go for the arts, humanities, museums, and public broadcasting. The logic and reason behind these dedications, as we all know, we've listened to Representative Hackbar's proposal. The logic and reason is the same behind this one as his bill, is to provide for a long-term commitment by the state of Minnesota towards some specific activities that we feel are really needing of attention. As you know, when we're in budget crunch time, it's very easy for many items to be put to the bottom of the list, even though they're very important. We have priorities that must be attended to that are constitutionally state obligations, especially education. And so there are things that just kind of get pushed aside when that happens in that overall process. And this would provide for a mechanism to place into the Constitution some other items that would also be able to have some stability with regard to their funding, even though we may have budget situations that provide pressures on us from time to time. So this is the bill before you is the bill that was drafted by Senator Sams over in the Senate. I agreed to carry it over here in the House, but there are also some activities, there are proposals in here for support that go beyond what I have traditionally supported. But the biggest difference that is in this bill compared to the ones that we have previously heard in this committee is that this one is asking for an additional 0.25 percent of sales tax, where the other proposals have been earmarking I believe, Representative Hackbarth, yours is a 0.25 percent also, isn't it? 1/8 of 1 percent of this existing sales tax going towards dedicated items. So that's kind of the biggest difference is this one's additional tax, and the others have been with taxes within or dedications within the existing taxes. The this overall effort, I think, is as long as it's going to be a constitutional amendment and it's going on the ballot to the people, I'd like to take advantage of that opportunity to see if the people would like to more or less put their money where their mouth is and not just say that they want to have dollars go towards this effort, but that they would actually increase their commitment towards that effort. And therefore, it would not be in competition with or deal with the existing budget pressures that we have in the state of Minnesota coming out of the general fund, because that's where the sales tax generally goes to, is general fund. So that's basically the difference between this and previous proposals. The other big difference is that this one, this proposal, includes some items that we have not considered before, at least have not passed through this committee before, and that was the arts, humanities, museums, and public broadcasting. As you will review the percentages that I just presented to you, you see that the proposal before us has 22% going for clean water initiatives, which is $42 million. The Clean Water Legacy Act really needs to have a higher number than that on long-term commitment in order to be able to do its work. Currently, we're trying to try and get those dollars to come out of the general fund. If the public so chose to actually make that a dedicated effort, then it would we could provide relief to the general fund for that amount. And so to try and get this to where it would actually fulfill what I believe is the overall vision of what we need to be doing with regard to cleaning up Minnesota waters, I will be would like us to discuss the option of deleting the 22% for arts, humanities, museums, and public broadcasting and putting those dollars with the Clean Water Legacy Initiative. That would give us the $84 million that and is what we need for the Clean Water Initiative effort to be ongoing. And so that would be, to me, that would really, it makes logical reason behind the overall effort, and then the bill would then go over to taxes, and we would see as to what they would what their advice would be and what they would actually do with the proposals. I suspect that, or believe that the lead initiative will be Representative Packbar's bill, and that ours would, this particular effort would be more or less just additional advice that the tax committee would receive. Representative Wiggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am obviously with you on the need to do the legacy project. I look at the $42 million, and that is the cash we need. The remainder of it could be bonded, just going in general obligation bonds. I would be cautious about removing the arts, humanities, et cetera, mainly because I would want this to pass as a constitutional amendment, and that guarantees that it passes. And if we're intent upon having an outcome that we want, I think that keeping it intact probably guarantees something that might otherwise not pass.
I'm so happy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with all due respect to my friend, Representative Wilgenius, I too want this to pass. I completely disagree. I think trying to sell this to, you know, we've been talking about this as conservationists and sportsmen for years, having dedicated funding, and trying to sell a dedicated funding tax increase for the Guthrie Theater and public broadcasting, I think guarantees this bill to fail. If it does fail in November, then where are we? Then a lot of people's efforts that have been working on this for years, you know, where do you start over from there? And that's my worry. I think the arts is a stone around its neck while it's trying to swim.
Representative Cornish.
I agree with Mr. Chair and members, with Representative Hoppe. I'd like to go back to a number of problems I have with the bill, but the most glaring is arts, humanities, public broadcasting. If we could keep it to, it's a stretch for me, even thinking back when it first started out, the 1/8 in LaSard, for just Game and Fish, on adding parks and trails and clean water. But it's over the edge for the other things that you mentioned. It would be probably my effort, whether we're going to address this today or in the future, to strip those out of there and put it towards clean water, like you said.
Other Representative Hunky.
Just a comment and then a question. I don't agree with Hoppe or Wiggenius because I don't know at this point in time. And I wonder if anyone has done any of that work, rather than us saying, well, I think that if arts are on there, probably they'll have a harder time passing, or I think, you know, in my mind, they'll have an easier time passing. I don't know that. Has anyone done? I mean, we're big on polls and other things here. I guess I wonder if the arts community or the fish and wildlife community or anyone has polled around the state or can point to anything that can help us with that definitively. And I guess I won't get an answer right now, but I'd sure like to have someone talk to me in the next few days on that or before this gets to a floor session or something else, because again, it's all speculative right now, and I think we need to move beyond that point, because this is a very serious thing, and I do want it to pass, you know, and I don't know if it helps or hurts, and I think we need to have some of that information. The question I have, Mr. Chair, is on the Clean Water Fund section. Is this language lifted right out of the Clean Water Legacy? I mean, the makeup of the council, the use of the funds, so that we're not later on trying to say, well, we meant it to be Clean Water Legacy stuff, but now that this group is deciding it's used for something else. Is that lifted right out of the Clean Water Legacy bill?
That's the intent of the bill. I will double check the language to make sure. Okay, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you say a little bit more about how you see this bill moving forward and how it's going to play into the overall game plan?
Chair of Tax Committee has requested that this bill, if it moves out of this committee, would go to the Tax Committee. Beyond that, I cannot speculate. I would assume that the bill that's already been scheduled for a hearing will be the primary bill that the Tax Committee will deal with, and that this will just be additional information that would be within their kind of portfolio for them to look at. But haven't got it that far, so I haven't talked to the tax chair nor anyone else about it. Other kind, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would, and to the committee, I would argue that the Arts Humanities Museum and Public Broadcasting be included. Not so much that maybe the assumption is that it'll just benefit the large entities in the metropolitan area, but in the district I represent, in the top part where we're going to have all this fish, wildlife, you know, wetland restorations, all this spending, and, you know, a lot of these better wetland complexes that are even left in the state are where I'm from. And they're used quite extensively by people from the metro area to come and hunt and fish and such, specifically Ducks Unlimited types. But arts is largely growing in my area, in the Montevideo area, in the Dawson area, brings a lot of people into town. They have several events a year. Museum costs keep going up quite a bit because they're older buildings and they have like $500 or $600 a month natural gas bills in the wintertime, and that would be supplementing them as well. Public broadcasting, there's a public radio and public television station in my district. I can see the antenna from my house, and that gets into the Representative Junkie's area and into lots of other areas of the state. I would think this would be more comprehensive with arts, humanities, museums, and public broadcasting in it for rural Minnesota, not just for big iconic investments like the Guthrie or something like that. It can be used in a smaller scale.
President Hacker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you made a motion to move the bill?
No, I have the bill before us, but I haven't given any motion as to what to do with it at this point.
Is it your intent today to move the bill to the Tax Committee?
I'm still listening. We haven't. I think we might take some public testimony also and see what comments are, and we'll kind of decide as to what we'd like to do.
Okay.
It's my intent to try, and I would hope, it's my desire, that eventually we will talk about changing where the dollars are actually going, and we will pass this bill over to taxes. That's what I'm hoping will happen.
Today, yep.
Yes. Well, today or tomorrow, so it will be ready for taxes on Thursday.
I don't know if we can get to a tax committee by Thursday if we move it tomorrow.
If we're finished with it, they'll be able to deal with it. Yes. Representative Rudolph.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, I'd kind of like to echo Representative Junkie's comments. I too want the bill to pass, but I'm unclear as to which format is the best to get it done. In talking a little bit with Representative Poppy, the $65 million that this would provide is more than the eighth, more than the 3/16, I believe, that's been talked about earlier, and one would hope that our sportsmen would look at that and think that would be a good amount to have in light of the nothing that they're getting now, if the arts and humanities could help them to achieve that, I would think that they would be supportive of that. But I may be wrong. It'd be very interesting to see what their opinions are on that.
Other comments? Okay, is there anyone who'd like to testify on House File 3269? Give us your advice. Yes? Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourselves for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Carol Kummer, and I am a Minneapolis Park Commissioner and the chair of its legislative committee. I also have with me here today Joan Rivers, who is a commissioner. Pardon? Joan Peters. Oh, I keep doing that. Sorry. I keep trying to make her the actress.
We knew the difference.
Thank you. Ms. Peters is with the Three Rivers Park District. In 1883, the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board was created by the legislature to develop a park system in and adjacent to Minneapolis. Since that time, the Chain of Lakes, Grand Rounds National Scenic Byway with 54 miles of parkway, and the Central Riverfront Park have been created and are considered to be part of one of the best, if not the best, park system in the country. In 1974, the Metropolitan Regional Park System was established by the legislature as a counterpart to the state park system. That 1974 enabling legislation said that the state would provide 40% of the funding for the regional system. In reality, the state's contribution has never exceeded 20% and is currently about 11% of the Metro Regional Parks budget. Passage of this constitutional amendment would help the state honor its commitment to not only the users of the Metro Parks, but also to the users of state parks, trails, and zoos. The Metro Regional Parks have over 30 million user visits each year, with 15 million of those visits to the Minneapolis Regional Parks. That number is growing and is second only to the Mall of America as a tourist stop. In addition, the state parks receive over 8 million people annually. It's obvious that Minnesotans value parks, open space, and outdoor recreation. Our regional states and state and parks are literally being loved to death. Census data estimates that in the next 25 years, 1 million more people will live in the metro area. Providing a long-term stable funding source for parks will allow us to continue our heritage of providing quality recreational opportunities across the state. The constitutional dedication of sales tax dollars is a way to preserve these incredible assets, not only in my community, but in the communities throughout the metropolitan area and the state for the next generation. We are pleased to join a broad coalition of our friends in the Metro Park System, the state park system, outdoor enthusiasts, environmentalists, and those dedicated to preserving and enhancing our cultural assets. The Minneapolis Park Board thanks you, Representative Osmond. We wholeheartedly support your bill, and we ask this committee to do the same. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Joan Nelson Peters. We have no problems with the name change. I'm a commissioner of Three Rivers Park District, and I'm the legislative chair. Our park board has unanimously voted to support this bill. Three Rivers has 27,000 acres of parkland in the suburban area, most of it in Hennepin County, but some of it in Scott, Wright, Carver, as well as Anoka County. We serve a broad number of people. We serve 5,000 people a year. 5,000, I apologize, 5 million visitors a year. And we contribute mightily to this quality of life in the metropolitan area, as well as to the visitors who come. We do not do ball fields. We have larger venues such as the downhill skiing, golf courses, cross-country skiing, and as well as camping and picnicking. I thank you for your time, and I hope that you will support this bill. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Tom Jess. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tom Jess. I live in Plymouth. I think I'm one of the people that you want to hear from. I feel like I'm Joe Average citizen. I'm not a president of any group. I've been coming here because I'm interested in watching legislation get through this body for the last 8 years. Okay? One of the things that I am opposed to as a citizen is including the arts in this amendment that deals significantly with the outdoors. Why? On February 25th, Representative Seifert put an article in the editorial section of the Star Tribune. In that article, six of the seven top nonprofit salaries as of 2004 were listed as the Minnesota Society of Fine Arts at $584,000, Minnesota Public Radio at $551,000, the Guthrie Theater at $383.6. The Walker Arts Center at $374,000. Minnesota Orchestral Society at $333,000. And the Minnesota Historical Society at $229,000. All of these, in Mr. Seifert's point, was that they significantly overrun the governor's salary of $120,000. I don't know how you're going to sell a constitutional amendment to the people of the state of Minnesota in the metro area, especially outstate, when you're going to try and have these salaries. They're going to come up, I guarantee it, because if somebody else doesn't raise it, I will. We can't have, there was one other, the total of those salaries are over $3 million. Okay? It's really hard when you think about how much it costs to repair the damage we've done over 150 years, not even 150 years that this area has been called a state. It's really hard, folks.
Add those in.
And to include something that's so disingenuous with a bill dealing with the outdoors and open space, I don't think you're going to get the acceptance from the people that you really want to get it from. And as Representative Hoppe said, it's going to be like putting a stone around somebody as you're trying to swim. As a short example, 150 years... I was over to Scotland a year and a half ago. My great-grandparents, great-grandmother, and my grandmother came from Scotland. I found out that my great-great-grandfather was born in 1859, just a year after Minnesota became a state. My grandson was born almost 2 years ago. That makes seven generations. What have we done to this state in seven generations? We've drained 90% of the wetlands in some areas. If you go up in an airplane, you can see the damage that we've done. Straight lines that used to be creeks and streams, green water that used to be lakes, brown water from turbidity, from rough fish. How can we sell this? What is it going to look like seven generations from now? Everybody seems to want to think about, what are you going to do for me now? I want to know, what are we going to do for my grandson's descendants? What are they going to be looking at? can we really say that the arts have value in saving our environment? The earth is the only thing we've got. We need to take care of it. If any of you have read The Good Earth by Pearl Buck, what did he learn, Wang Lung? He learned that the earth is basic, and if we don't take care of it, we're not going to have it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On line 8.16, page 8 of the bill, I noticed that it says money allocated to the Minnesota State Arts Board may not be used for administrative purposes. And I was wondering what the mythology of that line is, and to address the problem that the testifier brought before us, would it be something that we consider to expand that to cover those other entities, so that you can't use this money for those administrative purposes that he's suggesting? But I think that I do think that the programs are, you know, where we're trying to laser fire. If we're going to have arts and humanities in there, then we're trying to laser fire getting the money out to the programs rather than paying administrative expenses. Mm-hmm. So I see that on line 8.6, and I'm wondering if we could expand that, what the committee's thought would be.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Jockey.
To that point, I agree. I think we can put money in items 1 through 7 may not be used for administrative purposes above. But I would go broader than that, actually, and ask about, you know, how much administrative money comes out of the Game and Fish and the Parks and Trails and others, and maybe we want to be more project-specific throughout this entire bill, because I think, again, if people are voting, whether it's Hackbar's bill or your bill or whatever ends up at the end, when I go to the poll in November, I want to make sure that money, the lion's share of it, goes to projects out in the field and not to administrative costs at the DNR office or the Arts Board or the Minnesota Film Board or anywhere else. So I think throughout these bills, we should be very specific that these are for projects and not for more bureaucracy or administrative salaries. So I hope both you and Representative Hackbar would look at that, and we could maybe amend this one before it leaves here, just on that portion of it, to make sure that the arts is covered. But I think we should broadly look at that throughout the bill.
I'd like to add to that.
Representative Joe.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not confident that the arts and humanities is a part of this in the final product. But I do think that Representative Junkie even broadens what I've suggested. And those types of salaries are hard to sell out across a lot of Minnesota, even though I'm not suggesting that they're not earning it. But to think about adding on a sales tax, I think we need to laser fire at where we're trying to hit the projects. So.
Okay. Other testimony? Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Barry Tilley, and I'm here today representing the Association of Minnesota Public Educational Radio Stations. It's a group of about 12 public radio stations spread throughout Minnesota. The signal covers about over 80% of the listeners in Minnesota, the signals of those stations. It includes all of the larger public radio stations in Minnesota, except Minnesota Public Radio, who is not a member of our association. Our association has a little over 300,000 unique listeners per week that listen to the programs that are broadcast on our stations, which are primarily programming that's designed to reach audiences that are not served by commercial broadcasters just because of the nature of the niche audiences. And those range from things like KFAI in South Minneapolis, who broadcasts on the air at least once a week in 14 different languages. They serve the immigrant communities of the West Bank of the University of Minnesota and play an important role in sharing cultural information as well as public health information about health epidemics and that sort of thing. They also serve a whole variety of other programming needs across the country. I'm quite proud of my association. They didn't support being included in this program unless there was a tax increase as a part of it. And their reasoning was that they did not want to put some money set aside to help them out. If it came at the loss of money to other programming that the state does that they feel is very important also, as such as education, healthcare, and that sort of thing. And so they reluctantly came on board supporting this if there was a tax increase. Another part of their reasoning was that while they support public broadcasting, and they are not afraid to ask for public support, that's how they raise the vast bulk of their money, is through membership and that sort of thing. They thought that why should some recreational opportunities in Minnesota get this special, unique situation, which many of them also support. They're many of them are anglers and hunters and park users. But if you're going to set aside money to support recreational opportunities, then we should broaden the base and cover everybody's opportunity. It also broadens the base of support. They've looked at constitutional amendments over the years, and most of them fail. And they felt like by joining this larger group, and they aren't opposed to other people being involved, but they thought by broadening the base of support, they stood a better chance of passing this initiative on the ballot. I won't take a lot more of your time, but that's the basics of the argument of the public radio stations that are members of the AMPRS group of public radio stations. And I appreciate your time here this morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bill Krasinski, and I'm here today representing Minnesota Public Television. We have six stations serving actually about 4.2 million people in the state of Minnesota. We reach, on a weekly basis, over 3 million people watch us on a weekly basis, public television. We're very big, particularly in rural area. We're a large institution out there, non-public, non-profit organizations. And we certainly have done a lot of programs with respect to the environment, with respect to chronic waste, and special programs specifically in Minnesota. We have a high viewership support. This bill affords us an opportunity to perhaps benefit from some revenues over time that will enable us to continue and further expand our programming opportunities. Now that we're in a digital era, and the legislature did help us, we thank you for that, with providing some funding for digital conversion, each station has the ability to have six different stations broadcasting simultaneously. We reach places in Minnesota that commercial television doesn't even reach. So it's an extremely important service that we're providing, again, throughout Minnesota, and particularly greater Minnesota. We urge your support for this. We do a variety of programs, ranging from kids programs on a daily basis, certainly for the environment and what have you. We have, just besides viewers, we have approaching 400,000 people who are actually members of our various public television stations. There's great enthusiasm about this legislation, and like the Association of Public Education Radio Stations, we like the idea and feel more comfortable with the idea of actually asking voters to vote on expanding the sales tax so they're not taking revenues from any other sources as well. We think it's an important function. We have we reach millions of people on a weekly basis, and we're very confident we could help pass this entire amendment and encourage the voters to pass that amendment as well. We have a great deal of resources that are willing to commit to this effort. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Representative Dale.
Back to on line five, our page 8, 8.16, back on our previous idea. I did ask, and I'm wondering if you could provide some insight on how the first sentence got into the bill. Some of the background on that money may not be allocated just to the Arts Board for administrative purposes. Is that something that you would put in the bill, or did that come from somewhere else?
That came from the from Senator Sams and whoever he was collaborating with on the construction of the bill.
Okay, can we have someone find out why they were the target in that particular sentence rather than other? And then also regarding administrative purposes, I'm just thinking that's fairly broad administrative purposes. I sense that it's salary and those types of things, but I'm just wondering what administrative purposes actually means, and do we want to even be consider being more definitive in that wording at some point in the bill?
Okay. Lance Ness.
Mr. Chair,
To that point, to what Representative Dill is saying, you know, whether we designate the money can or can't be used for administrative purposes is largely irrelevant, because if it can't be used for administrative purposes, that just frees up other money to be used to increase salaries and other administrative expenditures. I mean, we're saying that these specific dollars can't be used. You know, we can't say that they can't use any other dollars that are now freed up to do that.
Welcome to the committee. Please give your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Lance Ness. I'm the president of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Alliance and the co-chair for the Rally for Ducks, Wetlands, and Clean Water, along with my good friend Dave Zentner from Duluth, Minnesota. We'd just like to all remind you, on April 22nd, we'll have a rally out in front of the Capitol, and I invite you all. It happens to be Earth Day, and you'll be receiving invitations in the mail. So I just like to put my plug in front of the committee. Thank you. I'll try to be consistent and give you the same message I sent to the Senate yesterday, or a few days ago. In a recent event hosted by Governor Plenty, revealed how far apart our political parties are when it comes to protecting our state's natural resources. Dedicated funding for natural resources have been discussed for the past 7 or 8 years. But despite public opinion polls that show it was widely supported, dedicated funding has failed to be passed by either body of the legislature. Instead, it has become nothing more than a birdie in another version of a badminton game that passes for politics in Minnesota. One side hits a lofty fly to the other side, who returns it with equal precision until the end of the session, where it falls silently to the ground. The time has come to get serious about dedicated funding. The time has come to quit using dedicated funding as another birdie in a political game. If our elected officials are really serious about doing what is best for the people of Minnesota, they should take dedicated funding seriously. The Rally for Ducks, Wetlands, and Clean Water has consistently asked for a minimum of 0.25% of the state sales tax be dedicated to our natural resources. That 0.25% would be equally divided between fish and wildlife habitat and the cleanup of our state's waters. This amounts to roughly about 25 cents out of $100 of state sales tax. I point out our new quarter, if anyone grabs one and turns around near a side, shows a gentleman fishing and a loon in the background. Obviously, hunting and fishing and clean water mean a great deal to us. Anything else is unacceptable. Not only to us, but to the future generations of Minnesotans who stand to inherit the natural resources that are unrecognizable from what they are today if our legislators don't get this done. The major goal of last year's rally was to bring diverse interest groups together for a common cause we all believe in, the future of our state. Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, source of the mighty Mississippi River, source of the Lake Superior, home to beautiful forests. Paul Bunyan, Babe the Blue Ox. Rolling prairies and trout-filled streams once covered the landscape, a rare combination of natural gifts that exist nowhere else. Gifts that are now being diminished bit by bit every year through inattention, overuse, and outright abuse at times. Ironically, we may be ultimately losing the very things that define us as a state, our surroundings. If politicians are really serious about getting dedicated funding passed and ensure the future of our state, the time has come to do it together. These are the needs. That we need 0.8%, approximately $80 million, to protect our fish and wildlife habitat. We need 1% approximately $80 million, to clean up our state's waters. Our parks and our trails are diminishing. What's the holdup? Political jockeying and a one-upmanship in an election year? Finger-pointing about who did and who did not? If this continues, the stalemate is sure to be the end result. And Minnesotans have clearly indicated they are fed up with stalemates at the Capitol. What shouldn't be done? Don't dress it up pretty. Don't roll it all together with stadiums and other constitutional amendments and all kinds of other things and that fail to pass on their own merits. Don't pass your version of my party's or the highway way to pass this bill. Let's learn how to compromise. That's what we're supposed to do for the good of the state. Don't let the future of Minnesota become a political football, a Christmas tree, and Mardi Gras all rolled into one. Tell ourselves we did something right. Minnesotans aren't buying it. Instead, this is what we should do. Establish a clear priority for Minnesota's natural resources. Since everyone benefits, make it fair by having everyone contribute. Put it to the voters. Let us decide whether you want to use current taxes or a new tax. Let us decide. Do what's right simply because it's the right thing to do. Protecting our future by protecting our natural resources. Let's start working together, all of us, everyone in the room. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. Time for legislators to show their dedication to conversation for conservation, because we're all sick and tired of the badminton game. Send my testimony.
Any questions? Is that Cornish?
Well, I guess I'd like to say I kind of resent the testimony. I spent 22 years of my life risking my life to protect the resource, and then nothing but the last 12 years of supporting fish, hunting and fishing, either the hunting amendment that we put on the Constitution before, and then there's a number of us here that don't like being painted with the same broad brush that you just used. It worked very hard to ensure that we have enough money in the coffers for game and fish, and if we didn't, it's because of tough times. We've got a lot of demands, and I really think that the people that come up here and testify have to get their own bill and quit hijacking the sportsman's bill like they've done. And if, Mr. Chairman, if you're ready for a motion, I have one here. Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to put $80 million to the Fish and Wildlife, $80 million to clean water, and how much is left here? Can't read my own writing.
Okay. We have my understanding that's $191 million
annually?
On an annual basis when you have a quarter of 1%.
$30 million to parks and trails. And like to rework the percentages and language to match these approximate dollars. And then I'd like to delete the language regarding the arts, humanities, museums, public broadcasting, and zoos. And if I need some help for Mr. Helen in accomplishing this and put it in the right format.
Can you repeat that?
And I make that because it started out game and fish. I think it should stay that way. These other items have just no place in this bill. They don't match up, and it's not for the original intent. And I argue that I think it'll hurt the bill. You might not even make it out of the House, much less the ballot.
Just so I understand, the motion is assuming that one quarter of 1% brings in $190 million. Let's just make that assumption. Out of that, you'd be $80 million would go for fish and wildlife, $80 million towards clean water, and $30 million towards parks. Your motion is to select the proper percentages to represent that those figures.
Yes.
And then also delete language that has to do with arts, humanities, museums, broadcasting, and zoos. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Questions? Representative Wiggins.
Well, it's not a question. I just want to make an observation. We all sit here on the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and every one of us wants more money into Environment and Natural Resources. I mean, that's across the aisle. We all want that. What I worry about is if a constitutional amendment will go up, there will be opposition. No question there will be opposition to this, and it didn't pass. So I want what we do to be the best thing that we can do to make sure that it passes. Now, right now, I know that there are people out there who want this to pass and have been working for it to pass, but do not have a game plan of how to get voters out to vote. That's a real downside. We're getting pretty late to not have a game plan to get it to vote. Even if we knew polling right now, it's almost irrelevant because we know that there are going to be people who are going to oppose it. I can understand not wanting to put so much money into the arts, but this art of compromise, bringing in this huge new coalition of very creative people to go out and help pass this initiative, I think is well worthwhile. Even if you were to cut the money down, I think it's a mistake to cut it out. Because you are cutting out huge talents, huge creativity. Arts are not just the big high-paid folks, and I think Representative Dill has got that under control. It is a lot of little groups all over the state and all the way out from my district to Representative Peterson's district. We would be well advised, I think, to include them, to include their energy in making sure this passes. I mean, I know we want to be pure because we all sit here and think we love the earth and we want to protect it. Just like the witness over here, I totally agree. But the best way we can do to guarantee this passage is to broaden this coalition and do a little compromising. So I would want to amend the amendment to, let's say, retain $40 million in the arts. $40 million and trails, and split the rest between water and heritage.
So, I don't know if that can, the amendment or the motion that's before us not only talks about dividing up the dollars, but it also has some language that specifically says to delete the very thing that you want to restore.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
we need to.
You may want to divide the motion.
I actually, instead of wanting to do the motion, I think we should have a little bit more conversation before we do those hard line votes and see if we can't arrive at some consensus here with the full intention that we want this to pass. And that we can't find that consensus at this table rather than trying to do, just as Mr. Ness said, don't play this with politics. Don't do up and down votes. Let's see if we can't talk around the table and to come to something that we can agree on, even though the percentages are different and the numbers are different. So we have this opportunity to get this actually not just to the voters, but back, get the money back.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not absolutely positive that this. I like the idea of this being. I want to be pure, more pure about this than maybe we are. But that seems maybe a little idealistic in the terms of its passage. Thinking about up in my district and trying to get the votes for it. I mean, this will pass in my district because people know how important hunting and they live it every day. But I'm thinking about it overall. I'm also thinking about the North Shore and the arts opportunities. The North Shore is pretty artsy, and up at Grand Marais particularly. And this will bring quite a few voters that I don't think would traditionally vote for this constitutional question to the polls and support it. Thinking about up at Grand Marais, there is no radio station north of Duluth, as an example. So the people in Grand Marais, they have WTIP, and that's their only public, that's a public radio station, and the other radio stations they get are from Wisconsin and Michigan, because it's across the lake. And it is important in those local arts grants. I'm thinking that the number could be smaller, so we could focus more of the resources towards the other objectives, but that we leave it in the bill, consider leaving it in the bill as a... as to broaden the opportunity for its passage. Just maybe not quite as extreme as, I wouldn't, not that you're extreme, Tony, Representative Cornish, not what I was saying, but maybe not quite as encompassing as the motion that Representative Cornish made, somewhere in between. Knowing that I would rather just have this ideally focused at fish and wildlife and clean water. So it's kind of what both of you are saying, but a kind of a homogenization, so to speak.
Mr. Chair, I agree with Representative Dill, and because I was playing with the numbers here, too, as he was talking. I'd rather see us go down to 30 and 30, frankly, on the parks and trails and 30 on the arts,
and then add the rest back to be divided evenly between Fish and Wildlife and Clean Water, which would actually give a boost to Clean Water and bring it up to 65, which I think is extremely important even for the hunting and fishing community. A lot of those dollars will benefit those groups too. And when you look at 30 for Parks and Trails, I know they're in the room, they're going to get all excited, but in the bill we have before us today, we state parks, we have $3 million, and trails, we have $14 million. That's $17 million. We're basically asking to double that amount, even when we go to 30. So, I mean, it's a big boost, even to the parks and trails, to be at 30. And I'd rather see some of that money, more money, funneled into the clean water and the area of this bill, and a little less to the arts and the trails. But until I'm convinced, like Representative Dill said, that one way or the other, leaving the arts in or taking them out, I don't know that I could support taking them out right now until I hear a better preponderance of the evidence.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree also that I think it's okay to, it makes sense for me to change some of the percentages on these things, but at this point, this early in the process, it'd be make more sense to be inclusive as we try to move this action forward. So I guess I agree with my previous comments that are made that maybe change some of the numbers, but let's keep the package together as much as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think we all agree that we want this to pass in the fall. And my concern is that if we have the arts in there, we get, the people in Grand Marais to come out and vote for it, and we're going to get maybe some more votes. But I think you're going to lose a lot of votes around the state. I mean, we've talked about this issue for years, starting with, Senator Lessard, and the arts have never been part of this. And I think if you are trying to sell this tax increase for public broadcasting and the arts around the state, I mean, if the environment is important and conservation is important and the future of our state is important, why are we including the arts? We had Mr. Ness up here, the last testifier, that lectured us about the importance of not being political. You'll notice that never once when he was lecturing us did he mention the word arts. I think we follow Representative Cornish's lead to take the arts out of it. If the environment and conservation are important, clean water is important, I think people of the state are going to support that. I see we follow Representative Cornish. Take the arts portion out and let it stand as it is.
Mr. Chair.
Members, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we're talking about votes and such and what gets in, or what doesn't get votes. I think one thing that doesn't get votes in the natural resources and Fish and Wildlife's desire to have all this money for improvement is the people from districts similar to yours that drive out to the Big Stone County Ducks Unlimited banquet, and I meet more people at that banquet from the metro area than they're from my area, and who buy up land, get a reduction on their property taxes at the local county level, get into a government program, put up a Lester shed, have a bachelor pad out on the prairie so they can hunt and fish and such. And if you haven't gone around to talk to these folks, they're not real excited about people coming out, driving up land prices so they can hunt and fish. And there could be some backlash in the rural area that says, nope, those folks are driving me out of here already. I think you should remember that. You'd lose some votes there. And to the public television part, I've got one of those DirecTV little dishes. Well, I can watch Channel 2. I can watch Channel 17. But I can't watch Channel 10, which is my local public television station. That, like Mr. Straczynski was saying, there's places that they still need to get penetration into public television in rural Minnesota. I'm talking about the people who live out there, 10, 15, 20, Representative Bill style, away from places that want access just as well. And if they think they could potentially pick up some public television improvement or public broadcasting improvement, I think you could make the case to get their votes. But be aware that there's some people out there who aren't real fired up about more people coming into their counties and hunting and then leaving.
As we're looking at this, I just to give you my perspective on it, is that I'm, when it comes to constitutional amendments, those are really critical issues for us to be considered. This isn't something casual that you do. State leaders put into the Constitution or before the people, and the people put in the Constitution the requirements for education, for example, that are constitutionally protected. Those are critical issues. This falls into that category. To me, it's the difference between needs and wants. You know, there's lots of things that we need, that we really need, versus things that we want. And I think we have a mix going on this list of getting those confused. Wildlife, fish and wildlife resources, there isn't any way for them to be protected unless we do it together. Those are some things we cannot do just on our own. We can, you know, operate in our own little world, but we don't have the impact that we need in order to really make it a way of life and to have something meaningful for the state of Minnesota. So fish and wildlife is in protecting that is a critical need. I think that clean water is a critical need for us. We have to have clean water. We can do our little part individually, but we can't do it individually as the problem. We can't address the problem individually. We have to do it together. And with the parks and trails, for example, the need with those is that we're the not only from a personal health standpoint, as we are getting Fortunately, with the quality of life that we have here in the state of Minnesota, we have time off. We need some place for people to actually go and be able to recreate and be able to expand themselves. It's good for mental health. It's good for their physical health. And there's a need out there for it. You know how things are getting crunched down. When I look at the rest of the list, the arts, the humanities, the museums, the broadcasting, the zoos, I understand the value of those. But they fall into a category of wants, in my estimation. And I think we need to divide the wants and the needs. And we need to say that the needs really should be protected and have resources that are dedicated through the Constitution. And I would support Representative Cornish's motion. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, the motion.
Mr. Chairman, you have to bring the bill before us first.
The House file... 3269 is before us. I haven't made a motion as to where it would go. It is before us. The Representative Cornish's motion is before us. Anyone need that motion repeated? What's Representative Erdahl? Repeat the motion. It's, the percentages would be determined by assuming that we have $190 million raised from the 0.25%. And $80 million would go towards fish and wildlife. $80 million would go for clean water. $30 million would go for parks and trails. Language in the bill regarding arts, humanities, museums, public broadcasting, and zoos would be deleted. That's the motion. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion prevails. Okay, the bill is now before us as amended.
Division
is an ask for. Those in support the motion, raise your hands. Okay. Those opposed, raise your hand. The motion prevails. Okay. Let's see. The bill, as amended, is now before us, and the motion. We will have the bill. Mr. Helen, can you tell me with regard to process here? We do not have this bill drafted with this motion in it. Can we make the motion now to forward this to taxes, and then and you craft that and get it? Get the job done.
Yes, Mr. Chair. That can be done.
Great. That's what the motion would be, to have House File 3269 passed as amended and re-referred to taxes. Okay. And any question on that motion? Be recommended to pass and re-referred to taxes. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Bill is passed. Thank you very much, members. I appreciate your help. We keep things in your folders. Save your information in your folders if you want it for tomorrow. And if you have any amendments ready for tomorrow, please be talking to staff and help us get to go for the bonding bill. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.